I did Leo Neighborinos, and welcome into the Week 11 edition of Sunday Best. I'm your host, Jay Felicio, and if this is your first time, what you can expect is a short, quick-hitting podcast that's reacting to the happenings in Sunday's games. I'm not going to hit every game. I'm not going to hit every player. But what I will do is circle around the league and hit 10 or so of the most impactful performances, tell you what happened and what they mean for the foreseeable future. After that, I'll wrap up with any injuries that have fantasy repercussions at the end of the show. And I feel like I say this every week, but boy, are there some major implications on the injuries we saw this week. All this in 20 minutes or less are your money back. And by money back, I mean shirt bucks. Christian Watson is officially back, ladies and gentlemen. Watson caught 4 of his 5 targets for 46 yards and 2 touchdowns, including the game-winning score with 4 minutes left. It was a sick 17-yard leaping catch with Watson made while he was falling to the ground with 2 Giants DBs draped all over him. Watson's been coming on strong as of late, scoring a touchdown in 3 straight games and looking like his explosive pre-injury self. It was Watson's second straight game with over 20 fantasy points and his second straight game out-targeting Romeo Doubs. Watson's doing his best to change the narrative that Green Bay doesn't have a true wide receiver one, and he's easily the one I want to start most in fantasy. The Giants' backfield was pretty much divvied out how I anticipated. Tyrone Tracy saw slightly more work, 19 carries to Devin Singletary's 16, and Tracy got more work through the air while Singletary handled all the goal line work. But my attitude toward Tracy has shifted pretty significantly after just one game with Mike Kafka at the helm. Tracy was by far the best back on the field, averaging 2 more yards per carry with season highs of 88 rushing yards and 51 receiving yards. The problem is that Singletary is still stealing the scores, handling all 4 of the Giants' goal line carries. Entering this game, I was really just avoiding both because of the way that the workload is divvied up between the two, but I was impressed with Tracy's performance today, enough to consider him a flex in PPR leagues, but I still want no part of Singletary. I expect those touchdowns to go more towards Jackson Dart upon his return. Nico Collins' recent resurgence continued against the Titans as he got back into the end zone and had a second straight game of over 22 fantasy points. It was a short play-action touchdown that was set up by multiple chunk plays off the play-action on that drive, and I hate to stick my neck out like this, but Davis Mills is looking pretty good. Don't hear what I'm not saying. Mills isn't somebody that I'm excited to start, but it took just 2 games for Mills to have more 250-yard passing games than Stroud this season. I'm going to stop short of saying that Stroud should see the fate of Kyler Murray with a soft benching, but the quick turnaround with Houston playing the Bills on Thursday night could afford Mills at least one more start. And if you roster Nico Collins, you sure hope so. Bijan Robinson scored multiple touchdowns in a game for the first time this season and had just his 3rd game with over 100 rushing yards. Robinson took 23 attempts for 103 yards and 2 rushing touchdowns, adding 4 catches and 39 receiving yards for a tantalizing total of 30.3 fantasy points. If you have Bijan on your team, you're obviously not mad at that kind of game, but you have every right to be just a little disappointed. Why? Well, even though he just had 3 attempts, Tyler Allgeier once again vultured a touchdown. Now, a positive takeaway for Bijan besides the big stat line was that he handled 3 carries inside the 5, surpassing the season total of 2 that he had coming into the game. And there's no doubt that Bijan Robinson is locked in as a top 3 or so running back in both fantasy and the real NFL, but he could be having a Jonathan Taylor-esque season if it wasn't for Tyler Allgeier. Travis Etienne may have had the 2 scores, but Bashil Tootin had his best game as a pro before leaving the game with an ankle injury. Tootin took 15 carries for 74 yards and a score, virtually splitting snaps with Etienne in the first half, and Etienne actually wound up with 1 fewer yard despite handling 4 more carries. Tootin talked to the media after the game, saying that he thought it was his best game overall, which isn't that big of news, but the real takeaway is that he had availability for the media and had a pretty positive attitude after the game. At least in my point of view, the injury probably isn't one that's long-term. I still think Etienne leads his backfield, but it inches closer to a 50-50 split with each passing week. It could be a moot point if Bucky Irving's able to return next week, but Sean Tucker certainly looked to have surpassed Rashad White on the depth chart after a monster Week 11 performance. White still had more snaps and targets, but Tucker took 19 carries for 106 yards and 2 rushing touchdowns, adding 2 catches for 34 yards and a receiving score. To be fair, this was against the Bills' abysmal run defense, which came into the game allowing 4 touchdowns to running backs in the last 3 games and the 6th most points to the position. When Bucky's back, he'll be the bell cow, but the backup could be shifting more towards Tucker. Where did that come from, Bryce Young? All the talk lately has been how the Panthers have to move on from their former first overall pick and start their quarterback search immediately, myself included in those talks. Young responds with the best passing game of his career. It was Young's third 300-yard passing game, and per Next Gen Stats, 212 of Young's 302 yards came on passes over 10 yards, including two of his three touchdowns. Two of those touchdowns went to Tet McMillan, who had his second two-touchdown game and set career highs with 8 catches on 12 targets and 130 receiving yards. But to be honest, not much changed for McMillan. His target share was pretty much where it is normally. But the difference was Bryce Young was actually able to throw for over 150 passing yards in a game. Even with this big game against a good Atlanta defense, I don't trust Bryce Young just yet. But the performance was enough to at least make me willing to consider him a streamer in the right matchup. Jaylen Warren left the game in the third quarter with an ankle injury, but Kenneth Gainwell was plenty involved before his exit. Gainwell played more snaps and handled more carries in the first half, including 11 of the 12 plays in the two-minute drill. Gainwell did his damage to the air, catching 7 of 8 targets for 81 yards and 2 touchdowns. He was actually the Steelers' leading receiver and nearly scored a third touchdown late in the fourth quarter, making a remarkable one-handed grab on a screen, cutting back and running for about 20-30 yards before getting tackled inside the 10. Warren didn't play badly by any means. He averaged 6.2 yards per carry on 10 attempts. He did return for one snap after getting hurt, but his status for next week is unclear at the time of recording. Gainwell probably earned more playing time even if Warren was healthy, but if Warren were to miss time, Gainwell would immediately slot in as an RB2 and would be the top waiver wire ad of the week. If you love brisket, you'll love Jacoby Brissett, who had a record-setting day despite the Cardinals' loss to the 49ers. Brissett went 47 for 57, yes, 47 for 57, for 452 passing yards with a matching set of 2 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. The 47 completions were an NFL record, and most of them went to the de facto wide receiver one for the week, Michael Wilson. Wilson saw a whopping 18 targets, catching 15 for 185 yards, which happened to be the most yards for any receiver this season. Another week with Jacoby Brissett means another week with the touchdown for Trey McBride, who's now scored in 5 straight games and doubled his career high of 3 touchdowns. Speaking of streaks, Brissett has 5 straight games with multiple touchdown passes and has solidified himself as a solid QB2 in Superflex leagues. We won't know what to make of Wilson when Marvin Harrison Jr. returns, but he should be rostered in 100% of leagues after this week. The return of Brock Purdy did wonders for George Kittle, and shout out to the editor-in-chief for QB List, Christian Ottoman, who identified the splits and had Kittle as a trade target in one of his most recent articles. The return of Brock Purdy did wonders for George Kittle, and shout out to our very own Christian Ottoman, who identified George Kittle as a trade target for playoff-bound teams after identifying the splits with and without Brock Purdy. Shout out to our very own Christian Ottoman, who identified the splits with and without Kittle. Shout out. The return of Brock Purdy did wonders for George Kittle. And shout out to our very own Christian Ottoman, who identified the splits for Kittle with and without Purdy and had Kittle as a trade target for the fantasy playoffs in one of his most recent articles. Purdy threw 3 touchdowns and had a modest 200 yards, but completed just 19 passes. Kittle came down with all 6 of his targets for 67, or as my kids would say, 6-7. I know, I'm sorry. 67 yards and 2 touchdowns. Purdy's back to a borderline QB1 and a must-start in Superflex, and his presence brings joy to Kittle fantasy managers all over the globe. And a couple of quick notes before we go into the injuries. Luther Burden played ahead of Olamide Zaccheaus in 3 receiver sets and looks to have potentially won the slot job for the Chicago Bears. Josh Allen didn't look that great, but you wouldn't know it because he became the first player since Josh Allen last year to throw for 3 touchdowns and rush for 3 touchdowns in the same game. So, really doesn't matter. Mark Andrews took a fake tush push to the house for a 35-yard rushing touchdown, his first of his career. And Kenneth Walker finally got a goal line carry, finally totaled over 100 yards, and scored a touchdown just after everybody put him on their benches. And these injuries, my goodness, it's definitely shaking up the fantasy landscape. Michael Penix had a knee injury, he left in the third and didn't return. He was replaced by Kirk Cousins. Looks like he re-injured the same knee that he had the bone bruise on and is likely to miss at least one, if not multiple games. Drake London also left with a knee injury and wasn't able to return for overtime against the Panthers. It didn't look good, and there's no report yet, but would not be surprised to see him miss multiple games. Bashel Tootin, as I said earlier, had an ankle injury. He was in the middle of the best game of his career before banging up his ankle in the fourth. He was never officially ruled out, and the Jags were up multiple scores. Was positive after the game, so there's a chance that he may not miss any time. Kamani Vidal was hurt in the second quarter, and he played in the final drive of the first half, but only played four snaps in the second half. Now the Chargers go into the bye, and Amarian Hampton is able to come off the IR after the bye, but we don't know if that's going to be the case. The injury didn't look too serious, so Vidal should be fine coming out of the bye, but his value really depends on the status of Amarian Hampton. Josh Jacobs banged up his knee on the MetLife turf. What a surprise. Didn't return to the game. He's going to undergo further testing on Monday, but the injury isn't considered serious at the time of recording. Emmanuel Wilson played pretty well on his place, took all the running back rushing attempts, and if Jacobs were to miss time, he would be the guy you'd be looking to pick up. Jaylen Warren had an ankle injury, left the Steelers game in the third quarter, and wasn't able to finish the game. Calvin Ridley was carted off the field after returning from a three-game absence with a leg injury that wound up being a season-ending fibula injury. Just a lost season for Ridley. Dylan Gabriel suffered a concussion in the game against the Ravens, which forced Shedeur Sanders in the game. I would expect Gabriel to miss probably a game, but concussions are a case-by-case basis, so we don't know how many games, if any games, but for the time being, it looks like Shedeur Sanders is a starter in Cleveland. Amari DiMarcado suffered an ankle injury in the second quarter and didn't return for the Cardinals. And Aaron Rodgers left the Bengals-Steelers game with what turned out to be a left wrist fracture. Thankfully, it's not on his throwing arm, but he's probably going to miss multiple games, making Mason Rudolph the Steelers starter. Appreciate everybody tuning in. That's a wrap for Sunday Best, and believe it or not, we have 3 weeks left until the fantasy playoffs, and it blows my mind how fast this goes by every year, but make sure you check out all the amazing work over at QB List, the What We Saw series, where we have our team go through each and every game, watch every game, every play, and tell you what happened. Got my Start Sit series that comes out on Thursdays, and all the amazing podcasts on the QB List Network. We drop one each day of the week. I'll be back next week for week 12. Same bat time, same bat channel. As always, choose love, not hate.